This morning's reading is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He will watch over you. But he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you, Brian. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading. Amen. You know, as I was standing over there, I was just thinking to myself how wonderful it would be if there was some sort of pulley system rigged up and all I did was pull the cord like that and I went zip and stayed. Does anyone remember those shops down South End High Street where when you went to pay, they had a cashier at a desk and she would take your money and it used to be in a little tube and they used to push it up a pipe and then she'd push a button. And with a whoosh, your money had gone. And then suddenly you'd hear whoosh, and it'd come back again. Your change, that is. Because the cashiers weren't allowed to give change. It all had to go to a central office in the store. So the money that you paid went off in this little machine and then came back with your change. I thought that was marvellous. You still love that. Used to love watching that. My dear old aunt, she used to take me down to Southend quite often. And we used to always go in that shop just so I could watch this game. And the noises, beautiful. I'm going back in time here, I'm reminiscing. It's a sure sign I'm getting old. Anyway, a little later on, we have Jean's thought for the day. But as Jean's still thinking about them, they won't be here just yet, but they will be very shortly. Anyway, but I've got down here comments, day, weather and various matters. I would comment on the weather just recently. It has been extremely hot, hasn't it? Personally, I used to love the hot weather. Now, as I'm getting older, I find it rather difficult. And I think a lot of those of us who are over 21 are probably finding the same thing. I'm only being polite there. And then, of course, we think about comment on the day. It's a shame, isn't it? A big shame that you turn the television on in the morning to catch the news, and the news is doom and gloom. There's wars, rumours of wars, famines, pestilence, in some places floods. Other places, so dry that nothing has grown for years. And unfortunately, with the way things are in this country at the moment, we are obviously facing a water shortage. So how many of you just throw your water away? I mean, I'm a good boy. And I don't always do it, and I should do it more often. If you collect your water in a bucket, take it out and water the plants with it. There's lots of good uses. In actual fact, before I married Jean, in the bungalow that I used to live in, I adapted the drain from the bathroom to actually exit into the driveway so I could put a hose on it. So whenever we had a bath or anything like that, or a shower, and the water just drained away, on went the hose. Free water, really, because it's already been through once, hasn't it? It's a marvellous way to shall we say, educate yourselves to try and preserve water. Water is a very precious thing. And there are so many matters in the world that need our attention. Now, you may say to yourselves, but what can we do? Well, I'll say what you can do, and it's one four-letter word, pray. Pray to the good Lord, ask for his help, and I'm sure, and we know, that God answers our prayers. They may not be in the way that we expect, but they do work. And sometimes you think to yourself, good gracious me, I didn't remember asking for that, and suddenly it's happened. I'll tell you two little stories. Story number one. Yesterday, I wanted a piece of perforated metal to build a little bracket with. And I thought to myself, down in my bottom shed, I'm sure I've got some metal. Could I find it? No, I couldn't. And suddenly I felt led to move a sheet of wood. And behind the wood was a hook. And on the hook, what was there? The piece of metal that I needed. And I think that's marvellous. And so many times the good Lord does that for us. He knows where things are. And he knows that we can't find them by ourselves. But he prompts us. And sometimes it's just moving a piece of wood. Sometimes you can almost hear a little prompt in your mind saying, look over there, look over there. And you do. And what's there? The very thing you're looking for. So that's that one. But the other story is this. Many years ago when I was a lad, I was about 50-odd at the time, I think. I actually was unfortunate enough to lose my first dear wife. And I was devastated and alone. And there was another lady in Ashingdon. She lost her husband. And she was devastated and alone. We didn't even know each other. But we had a mutual friend in our next door neighbour called Dave Copley. And Dave said to Jean one day, oh, he said, have you seen my old friend Liz? So Jean said, I don't think I've ever met him. So he said, well, he's fairly devastated. He's just lost his first wife. So Jean, having recently lost her first husband, thought to herself, I'll go and see if I can help him. So I used to manage a motor accessory shop in Westcliff. And lo and behold, one day, this lady turned up and was looking in the window. In one hand, she had an ornamental cabbage. In the other hand, she had a newspaper. I thought, this looks strange. Anyway, she came in. And there was a gentleman in the shop who, as it turned out later, became our best man. Because I'd known him for years. And this gentleman said to me, oh, he said, do you want to speak to this lady alone? I said, oh, no. And I said to Jean, who I didn't know as Jean then, I said, this friend of mine is here. I said, I trust him implicitly. I said, if you've got anything that you want to say, other than business to do with the shop, then, you know, please say so. So Peter said, being a discretionary sort of person, I think I'll just go home now, Liz. So I said, okay. So he left Jean and himself alone. Well, both of us at that age, we made a date. And we met down at the Bell. And we had a meal. And we had a lovely time. And to make it even more special, that morning, it was a couple of mornings after that, my daughter came over to see me, and it was my day off. So she said, what are you doing today, Dad? I said, well, I'm meeting a lady. She said, are you? I said, yes. So I said, in actual fact, I'm just off down to the chemist to buy some rather nice aftershave. She said, I'll come with you, Dad, and we'll choose it together. So we went down to the chemist and we had a look round, and Jeanette said to me, she said, this looks nice, Dad. It smells even better. So it happened that I put the aftershave on, which was very successful. And I managed to claim Jean as my own. And my daughter said to me, Dad, I said, yes, Jeanette, could this be my future mother? So I said, I think it could. And she said, how lovely. But then I had to face the arduous task of asking Jean's son and daughter if I may marry their mother, which is a totally different thing to what I'm used to. I had to ask my first wife's father and mother, and neither of them were particularly keen that I should marry their daughter. But we overcame that with my charm. So anyway, they are the two little stories that I wanted to tell you. Both include the fact that the good Lord made it possible for these things to happen. I mean, who would have thought two people who live in Ashington, probably no more than a mile apart, had both lost their partners, were both lonely, were both upset, were both devastated, and we met, and what happened? Well, we've never looked back since. Did you notice there that I had a little fumble? I looked round, I couldn't find my walking stick, and I thought, did I bring it with me? And I have. Anyway, believe it or not, your moment has come, and I'm going to ask my delightful wife Jean if she would like to come and join me upon the podium and give her thoughts for the day. Don't rush, plenty of time.
It is lost 500 times a day. I spend most of my life finding a walking stick. Also, when my son and daughter, because they were in their 30s, were asked if they minded that we would marry, my son, and I didn't know whether to be pleased or a bit offended, because he said, thank goodness for that, someone to take her off my hands. There you are. Right, now, I've spoken to you about my life as a child in Birmingham, in the slums in Birmingham, no electricity, shared toilets, shared taps. And my initiation to my favourite football team, which is Aston Villa. This is a bit high up here, isn't it? I can't see over the top of it. And I still have a passion for Aston Villa, although I no longer go up to Birmingham to watch them. And I've been talking to you about things in my early life, and I thought today I would move on a bit and talk about my life now and compare it with the days when I used to speak to you of before. I've always been keen on mathematics, which is fairly unusual, I think, and art and craft. I like sewing, painting, making cards, making curtains, what have you. It takes me longer these days because I'm a bit older. But I've always enjoyed doing those things. And my father was quite clever at maths, and he used to draw. And every day after tea, he would take a maths lesson with me. And he was very, very clever, and that he made games and puzzles for me to do with him to improve my mathematics. And I love maths. I just loved it. And when I became a teacher, at the time I became a teacher, I found I could use these games, these ideas, to help the children I taught not only to learn mathematics, but to actually enjoy it. Unfortunately, those days have gone, and now the government tells you what you are to teach each day in the classroom. Yes, Linda? So you have no freedom whatsoever. You cannot choose how to teach it, because each child has a different way of learning, and it's up to the teacher to find out the best way to teach that child, particularly a subject of mathematics. So instead of being a fearsome thing for the rest of their lives, they actually enjoy it. Now, numbers now are not so easy to me. Can you hear me, by the way? I am used to speaking in a hall, but numbers to me these days are not as easy as they used to be. And I used to be able to do all sorts of calculations in my head without thinking about it. But once I get to 999, I'm stuck, so I have to use a calculator. Lots of numbers I forget. One number that's still in my head, which is 487891. And that has been in my head since 1940s. Wow. And it was my mum's co-op number. You know what I mean. Right, some of you will know co-op. When you used to go to the co-op years ago and bought something, you had to give them their number, this number that was special to you, and they would calculate over the year how much money you'd spent with them, and they'd give you a dividend back. And it is the one number that is firmly planted here that I never forget. Want to know my mobile phone number? What is it, Les? So there we are. So, anyway, I've had to write these things down because I will forget my gist of the story. Right, names can be tricky. When I was a teacher, I would have 30, 38 children, sometimes 40 in a class. And by the end of the day, I would know all their names. Their mother's surname, if it was different to theirs, no problem. Now, I can't even remember someone I know really well. I even think, what's Leslie's name? I thought, what's his name? So that's that. Now, on Mondays, I'll give you a little bit of our life. He's told you a little bit about us. On Mondays, when Mastermind is on, we watch Mastermind on BBC Two at 7:30. And the number of questions we can answer. But if we get one right, we are really pleased. Ooh, fantastic. And if we get a question right and the contestant doesn't know it, well, we look upon ourselves as geniuses. But that's how it is. A little story just to show you how I now tend to be distracted in the middle of doing something. And I put 4 eggs in a saucepan to boil. We're going to have an egg salad. And 4 minutes to boil, okay. I'll go and put my washing out. Do it in 4 minutes. So I put my washing out. Look at a bit. Oh, some weeds there. And I better pull those up. Ah, I better take these dead heads off these shrubs here because it won't flower anymore. And suddenly there was this strange smell reaching my nostrils. I turned to the house and there was black smoke coming through the back door. So I ran like mad. And in the kitchen, amongst the smoke, was this saucepan on the gas hob. The eggs were black, the inside of the saucepan was black, and not a drop of water. And I realised that you can burn boiled eggs. Sometimes I can't remember where I put things. I have glasses. You see, I'm quite vain, really. And I bought these glasses because I didn't want anything to detract from my beautiful face. So I chose some glasses without a frame. So when I put them on, I don't really look much different. They do not hide my beauty from the people who are looking at me. And the only trouble is when I put them down, I can't find them because there's no rims standing out stating I'm over here. So I spent ages and ages looking for them. And I've already told you about that's my number. Now, I also have a problem to find it. So sometimes I put it down, and I can't find it anywhere. So I have to get Les to phone my mobile phone so I can hear it ringing and I know where it is. So although I appear totally in control, it is all a facade, and it just hides all these things. Now, I was in the post office, and I didn't remember what I was there for, in the queue, and there was a card, a comedy card, in a rack, because you're waiting, so you're looking around at everything. And it was a picture of a staircase with a man standing beside it. A big speech bubble coming out of his mouth. And these are the words. Have I been upstairs and just come down? Or am I going up to get something? And if I am going up to get something, what is it I'm supposed to get? And I found it very depressing, and I thought, is that going to be me in a few years' time? But I suddenly dawned on the fact that the reason I forget things, take a while to remember, is because my brain has so much information. I have learned so many things over 87 years. I've experienced so many things for 87 years that my brain is solid with all this information. And when I want an answer, the poor thing is trying to go through all this stuff until he comes up with the information. And I don't care what scientists say, that's what I think. I've read an interesting article in, I can't remember which book, but it was about lost property being handed in at the London Transport lost property. And these things were found on buses, tubes, trains and taxis. And did you know only 1 in 3 are ever retrieved? Now, in 12 months, they recorded the loss of 23,432 phones, 10,632 keys, 10,150 pairs of glasses, 8,652 umbrellas, several pairs of false teeth, a lawnmower, and a park bench. So much for forgetfulness being the domain of the old. We used to have, every so often at school, Lost Property Day. We would set all the tables up in the hall, and all the lost property that we collected would be put on tables. And the amount was unbelievable. You could not believe that these children could lose, and good quality stuff. And every class used to walk round. But we hoped that the way to get rid of it, if the child couldn't recognise its stuff, there would be another child who thought, oh, that's a good anorak, I'll have that. So we actually got rid of most of it by children who needed stuff taking it, if the children who belonged to didn't bother. Now, I've been standing here talking to you all about my inadequacies and what it's like to be old. But I want to tell you this, that the love of God is always there for us. He doesn't forget us, and whatever you do or don't do does not affect the love he has for you and me. You can forget him, move away from him. Whatever you do, his love for you is eternal. He loves you as a father loves his child, and nothing will ever change that. Now, knowing this is something you should remember, and if necessary, you better write it down. Okay. And I'll just finish with a verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 39. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. And that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that is something you should always, always remember. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for the fellowship one with another. We thank you for being here with us. We thank you for the atmosphere in this church. We thank you for the love overflowing. And we ask you, dear Father, to please fill our church more than it is at the moment. Please bring in those people, dear Father. We know that they're outside. All we've got to do is get them in. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And may God bless you all as you make your ways home. Amen.